We're going to have to review a little bit in order to pick up where we left off. We're on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up to sort of like the bottom of the thin lines. You know, the page has the thin lines and then the wide lines. So before the thin lines end, you'll see two dots, V'im Mishen Nises. Do you have such a thing? V'im Mishen Nises. So in order to appreciate that, we go back to the Mishnah Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. So if you could turn to that Mishnah, just so that we get the background here. The subject of this Mishnah, of course, is Pesha Asur or Pesha Hiter, which is predicated on the assumption that we don't know that she's married. We can only know that based on her confession. Our sugi is going to address the question, what happens if true, at the time that she made this statement, we didn't have that evidence, but then the evidence came in later. That's when the lights went out a few weeks ago. If you remember. Okay. So the Mishnah establishes that if, on the other hand, we have evidence that she was married, and then she comes into Bezdin, and she claims, Grushani, I received a get, the Mishnah establishes that she's not believed. All that is as far as Eishes Ish, which is, of course, an Erva Chamura, a very serious prohibition. The second part of the Mishnah addresses a much less severe kind of Isur, and that's what we call a Zono Lekoin. And the Mishnah says that if she says Nishbesi, and the Chachomim assume, unless there's proof to the contrary, that if she was a Shvuya, then she was violated by the Goy, which makes her into a Zono Lekoin. But now we don't have any evidence that she was captured. It's only her confession. And then she says, Tahorani, but she was not violated. She's believed because of Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter. But once again, the Mishnah stipulates that if we have independent evidence to the effect that she was Nishbeis, then she's not believed to say Tahorani, because the assumption is that if she was a Shvuya, then she was Nensa Biad Akum, and therefore she's Psula Lekomi. All that we know. Then we get to the last line in the Mishnah, and that's going to confuse us. The Mishnah seems to be making a general statement in this last line, which says that if Edim come after she already testified, then we're in a funny situation. It's not black, nor it's white. It's really the gray area. It depends. If after accepting her Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter, she went ahead and she got married, that's called Nises, Lo Teitze. Then we're not going to break up that marriage. If, on the other hand, the Edom came to testify, and she hasn't yet gotten married, then Lo Tinase. We're going to paskin that she's not permitted to get married. And all this addresses the case where she had a Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter at the time that she testified. She forfeited, she lost the Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter when the Edom came in. Since she had a Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter, we gave her that nemunas, that credibility at the time that she made that statement. Therefore, we're not going to break up her marriage. But only again, in this case, then lo teitze. But lechatchila, we're not going to allow her to get married. And the reason for that is because she no longer has a Peshasa. And why doesn't she have a Peshasa? Because the Edom came in to testify. Now, what's going to confuse our minds? This last Bava in the Mishnah could be interpreted in one of two ways. It could be a general statement, in which case it goes back to qualify even the Resha. The Eishes Ish situation. It could be no. It's only an addendum to the Sefer in the case of Nishbesi Utahoran. Meaning, at what point, how far are we willing to go with this principle of Im Nises Lo Teitze? That since at the time that she got married, she was allowed to get married, Bezdin gave her a heter to get married because of her Pesha Asur Pesha Hiter, we're not going to break up her marriage if indeed she lived out that heter. You know, she got the license to get married and she went ahead and she got married. We're not going to break up that marriage. Which case is that going on? Is it going on the Resha or only on the Sefer? If it's going on the Resha, that's a gewaldige chiddush. That's really far out. It means that even though now we have testimony that she's an Eishes Ish, we have no evidence whatsoever that she received a get, other than her word. And the Torah says, Al Pishnaim Eidim Yokum Dovar. And the Chazal say, Ein Dovar Sheberem Pochos Mishnaim. So we need a minimum of two witnesses. We don't have witnesses to break up Pocheskes Eishes Ish and testify that she received a divorce from her husband. Elo, what Peshasa Peshahitir? Well, she no longer has a Peshasa Peshahitir. No, the Mishnah says she had a Peshasa Peshahitir at the time, she got married legally, and therefore we're not going to break up the marriage. Or, this is the second possibility, no. This last statement, in Mnisseis Lo Teitse, is to be attached to the Seifa and only to the Seifa, meaning as far as Nishbesi Utahorani. There, the entire institution of assuming, you know, the halacha that we assume that she was violated and therefore she's a zona l'kohen, that's all a rabbinic institution. The whole chumra here, the whole isur, is the rabbanah. So the rabbanah might say, you know what? She had a peshasa, peshahitir. We're going to leave it as is. She went ahead and she married a kohen. We're not going to break up that marriage. But in the case of Eishes Ish, where we have two eidim testifying that she's an Eishes Ish, that far we're not willing to go. We're not willing to say that once she loses, she forfeits the Peshasa Peshahita, we're going to recognize her marriage to someone else. For that we need two Eidim, and we don't have those two Eidim. So how do we interpret this last line in the Mishnah? So that's what the Gemara is up to now. The Gemara says the following, V'mniseis, Mishnaseis bo Eidim lo kotze. Madaf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, again at the end of the thin lines, I call them. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. There's a machlokis here between Rav Hoshaya and Rabba Bar Ovin. Rav Hoshaya masni lea resha. Rav Hoshaya is willing to go as far as to say that even in the resha, we're going to apply the principle of nisei slotetsa. That means even though we're dealing with a real Eishes Ish, we're dealing with an isu doraisa. And now, in order to bring evidence that she was divorced, we have to rely on her claim, and her claim has credibility based on Peshasa Peshahitir. She no longer has the Peshasa Peshahitir. Nevertheless, if you don't want a little Yiddish, we say for deswegen, nevertheless, she's believed. What do you mean she's believed? We're not going to break up the marriage to the Shem. Rabba Bar Ovin, Masna Seifa, he's not willing to go that far. In the case of Eishes Ish, we must have two Eidim to testify that she received her get. We can only allow for him Nisei Slotetze in the case of the Seifa when we're dealing with the case of Nishbesi Utahorani. She had a Peshasa Peshita, and she was believed to say Tahorani. She went ahead and she married a Kohen. That was all legitimate. The Eidim came and testified that she was Nishbes. She now should become Asur L'Kohen, Midr Abbanon, because of the possibility or the likelihood that she had Be'ilu to a guy, and that makes her a Zona L'Kohen. But here that she went ahead and got married, and there was a legitimate marriage at the time, because at that moment she had what? Rabbi Ose, help me out here. Hapesha Asar HaPeshahitir. Even though now she loses Hapesha Asar HaPeshahitir, it doesn't matter. In this case, Lo Teitzeh. Says Rabbi Bar Ovin, that only applies when in the Sefer, because what's the subject of the Sefer? The Issa Durabbanan, that Durabbanan want to assume that she had this Be'ila Lagai, and therefore she's a Zona L'Kohen. Durabbanan are willing to accept her marriage to a Kohen since it took place when it was legitimate, when they gave her the head to the green light because she had a Pesach, a Peshahitir. Now, if she would go ahead and get married, if she didn't marry a Kohen, we would not allow that. And then if she violated our prohibition, she would have to be Niseis Teitze. But since she got in under the wire, if you fit the proverbial phrase, and she was married to a Kohen before the Eidim came in, and she had at that time the credibility of a Peshasa Peshahitir, we're not going to break up the marriage. That's Hushita. That's Rabba Bar Ovin. But Rabba Bar Ovin is not willing to extend that last line of the Sefer of our Mishnah to apply to the Reisha in the case of Eishes Ish. There we're dealing with a bona fide Issa Doraisa, the Erev HaChamur of an Eishes Ish, barring in the absence of the evidence to prove that she received a get, we could rely on Pesha Asa, but as long as there's no Eidim to testify that she was married. Once we have Eidim to testify that she was married, the Pesha Asa is no longer valid, and therefore Nisei Tetzei, that's the sheet of whom? Of Rabba Bar Ovin. And Rav Oshia is willing to go a step further, a giant step further, and say that even in the Reisha, in the case of Eish HaSish, she's allowed to remain married if she went ahead and got married when it was legitimate. Mind the master the Reisha Kol Shkena Seifa. According to Rav Oshia, even in a case of a Doraisa of Eish HaSish, and we don't have Edim that she received a get, nevertheless, in this case, Lo Teisei Kol Shkena, how much more so, Aseifa in the case of Shmuria, which is only a Derabanan, Hikilu, certainly Chachamim, would recognize her marriage to a Kohen, based on the fact that at the time that she got married, she had a Pesha Asar. A Pesha Hitir, even though now we find out that she was Nishbeis, nevertheless, in this case, Lo Teitz. That's the Kolshkein as we analyze the Shita Rav Oshaya. Uman Demasli La Sefer, but according to Rav Bar Ovin, who assumes that the last line in the Mishnah, in this case, Lo Teitz, is an addendum to the Sefer of Nishbeis U Tahorani, on a Shvuya we could be Mekil and say of Nishbeis, in this case, Lo Teitze, because she had Nemanus at the time that she legitimately got married, based on Peshas or Peshita, Vala Reisha, Lo. But will not go as far as to say that in the case of a woman who says, Eish HaSish, you see, Vinis Garashti, and she doesn't have a get or Edim to prove that she received such a get, then we're going to have to say, in this case, Teitze, even though she got married at the time that Bezdin gave her the green light. And why did Bezdin give her the permission to get married? She had a Peshas or Pesha Yitir. Okay. Bezdin didn't know that the Edom would be.
How long does she have to prove her case? Like, let's say, she says she eats garage. She shouldn't need any proof. Then, months later, she gets married. And the Edom come. And you go, oh no. They testify that she was married. She's like, oh, but no, but I did get a get. I'll have to go get it from the files. It's another country. It could take a month to get there and back.
The truth is, Max, your question is a very pressing one. Because, honestly, I don't think that this woman should get married. Again, we're allowing her to get married, but she has to really, really check out her possibilities. She has to answer two questions in her own mind. And unless she can answer these two questions in the positive, she's going to be in deep trouble. Number one, she has to say in the positive, in the affirmative, that there's no one here, anywhere, who's going to show up in Beis Din, and it was at the marriage, and can testify that I got married. How does she know such a thing? Maybe she was married 50 years ago at the time of of Shechur Yerushalayim. You know? Mm-hmm. So she knows that there's no one around anymore who was at her wedding 50 years ago. I don't know. How is she going to know that there's no one who's going to show up in Beis Din, two witnesses, and testify? Number two, she has to answer the affirmative that she will be able to prove at some point or another. Like you say, maybe she has to get stashed away in some safe, I don't know, a million miles away, but she'll be able to somehow get that access to that gift. Because if the answer is that she doesn't know whether Edim will come, and number two, she doesn't know whether she can prove her gerushin, she's going to be in deep, deep trouble, according to Rabba Bar Ovin. I just want to emphasize that Max's point is only true according to Rabba Bar Ovin. If you hold like Rav Oshaya, then you're in much better shape, because... Wait a minute, Max. Your new baby has two names, right? Maybe we should add Oshaya as a third name. Because both names start with an Aleph.
Amichai?
Oh, Amichai. Oh, with an I. So it's Elisha Amichai?
Amichai Elisha.
Amichai Elisha. Okay. Oh, so it's an I and an Aleph.
Is
he named after anyone?
So Elisha is after my grandpa Elliot, whose Hebrew name was Yitzchak Elimelech. So we thought at first we could call him Yitzchak Rabin. Then we decided not to. And then we didn't like Eli Melech as a name so much, so we did something else that was Eli Shah instead of Eli Melech.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Briss. I just, I think it was the night when I was flying out.
I have a parallel question to Max's. Let's say she just did Erison, and then someone comes in and says, I was there. Does that mean we allow her to continue through Nisuin? Or, like what's the marriage cutoff we're talking about? Is like if she was already married.
Yeah, Erison is enough.
Erison is enough, yeah.
It does say Niseis, but I would say that Erison is enough. Okay. But B'li Neder, I'm gonna come back to you with a little bit more research on that. My gut feeling, my intuition tells me that, again, you remember we made a big deal about it already a few weeks ago, that she created on the ground, you know, Bashetach, a new reality, a new chazaka, by getting married. And I would say that that chazaka could be created by Erisin alone. Why? Because Erisin, for all intents and purposes, is identical with Eishes Ish. I don't need Nisuin. Nisuin is relevant to Ksuba, Na Yerusha, Nedarim, Afar Sedarim, many, many dinim, but it's not relevant to the Iser Erva of an Eishes Ish. That would be my gut reaction. Now the Gemara wants to analyze what led to this machlokas. Lema, shall we say, b'drav hemnuna kamifni. You may remember back on Chav Beis Amid Beis about a month ago, we studied the chiddush of Rav Hemnuna. What did Rav Hemnuna say? If a woman that we know to be married, this is not our case where we only knew it from her, we know her to be married, but she says in front of her husband, Niskarashti. Then we have a principle of Rav Hemnuna. She's believed because Ein ha'isha me'iza paneh b'fnei bail. So perhaps this is going to be the subject of the machlokes between Rav Hoshaya and Rabba Bar Ovid. Demand the masli le'aresh according to Rav Hoshaya, who went as far as to extend the principle of imnisei lo teitzei to the case of Eishes Ish. Islay de Rav Hemnuna, he is standing on the shoulders of the principle of Rav Hemnuna, and therefore she's believed to say Gerashtani. Why? Because Ein Eisha Me'iza Paneh Bifnei Bail. Uman de Masli Asefa. But according to Rabba Bar Oven, who's unwilling to apply this principle of Nisei Sloteitze to the Reisha of Eishes Ish, Lesle de Rav Hemnuna. He never adopted the position of Rav Hemnuna. Therefore, even though she is claiming Niskarashti, nevertheless, she doesn't have that credibility. If she doesn't have that credibility, we're going to have to break up her marriage. And here at Bosai, you may or may not recall, it was like really at the end of a long shiur, that I mentioned to you this Tosis HaRosh, which is quoted here at great length in the Masifta. And what does the Tosa Rush say? He says, I don't understand. What does the Gemara have to... Why is the Gemara making this connection with Rav Hemnuna? Rav Hemnuna is specifically talking about a case where a woman looks her husband in the eyes, Bifnei Baila, and she says, Gerashtani. That's not our case. Our case is a woman who comes into Bezdin. Her husband is not here. I mean, that's exactly why this... I mean, the whole story revolves around the fact that the woman came into Bezdin and she notified Bezdin that, you should know, I was married at one point. You know, maybe I came from a far-off land. I was married there. But Niskarashti. So we're not talking about a case of a woman who was Me'iza Paneh Bifnei Baila to say Niskarashti. In other words, basically, the Tosafot HaRosh is bothered. How does Rav Hoshaya find any solace or any or stand on the shoulders of Rav Hemnuna? Rav Hemnuna only said that she's believed because it was Bifnei Baila. But here we're not talking about a case of Bifnei Baila. And this Tosa Rush is really, really a difficult question to answer. I mean, he basically backtracks here and he says the following, that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that Rav Hemnuna would literally apply here. That's the Gemara is only borrowing something from Rav Hemnuna. It's not an identical equation with Rav Hemnuna. And he says, "Kavanas haGemara l'damos eshnei inyonim." Right? There's an analogy here. Im Rav Hemnuna matir esa isha shamra bifnei baila girashtani. In other words, if a woman is standing in front of her husband and she says Gerash Tani, that's called Bifnei Baila, she's believed. Im Kain Hu Adin, the Gemara thinks we could make an analogy according to Rav Hoshaya. Gam Bi Omer Kain Shalom Bifnei Baila. Why? Because although Ein Kan Chazaka Gemura, right, the language of Rav Hemnuna was Chazaka Ein Isha Me'iza Paneh Bifnei Baila, but nevertheless Chazaka Klusha Yesh Kan. There's a weaker, watered-down chazaka, but it does exist. Why? She'ein hi mi'iza lomar kein b'sheker. Now, it's even though she's not standing in front of her husband, looking him in the eyes and saying, you've divorced me, but nevertheless, she's saying it in front of Bezdin, right? The public has access to that information. Is therefore, what goal, what objective is achieved by this chazaka klusha, by this weakened, watered-down second-rate chazaka? Ein aleh cheskas eshes ish. What this means is that since at the time that she had the pesha asa pesha hiter, we gave her the green light to heter to get married, and now Edom come, the Edom say that she was married, the Edom do not create a full-fledged cheskas eshes ish. And why is that? Because there's a chazaka klusha against the cheskas eshes ish, that ein isha me'iza panel filu shalom ifnei ba'al. And that's going to weaken the cheskas eshes ish, and therefore, in this ace, now she has a cheskas eshes ish to the second husband, lo teitze, and we can't break it up.
How can a chazaka, even a strong chazaka, go against two Edom? Let alone a weak one?
No, wait a minute. There are two issues here. The Edom are testifying that she got married. The Chazaka is testifying that she got divorced.
Mm.
Now, where does that Chazaka that she got divorced sink its teeth? You know, where does it show up? Where does it emerge? In two places. Number one, in the fact that she's created a new Chazaka by getting married with a Heter Bezdin. That Heter Bezdin, together with her new marriage, creates a Chazaka that she was divorced from her first husband. And number two, the fact that ein isha me'iza panea, and now we're adding according to Tosfos HaRosh, afilu shelo b'fnei ba'ala, which although it's not a real full-fledged chazaka gemura, nevertheless it engenders a chazaka klusha. Now I was thinking to myself, where did the Tosfos HaRosh come up with this concept of a chazaka klusha? So I thought of something, and I wanted to ask you if you thought it was in any way comparable or analogous to the case of the Tosa Rosh. The halacha is the following. If Iser falls into Heter, that Iser is so strong that you need 60 to be Mavatel. Now watch what happens in the following scenario. The piece of meat or the piece of bread that fell into the tarovas is heter. I don't need bittel. But later on, it became isur. How could something that's heter become isur? Think of the last regular. Don't think in terms of shavuos. Think in terms of Pesach. Where could you have heter that became isur? Chametz, right? You with me? Aaron, you look a little spacey. Are you? Did you get new glasses, by the way?
I did. They're a little dizzying.
Very impressive. You really, they're very stodgy.
Thank you.
You'll have to give me the address because it's time for the media. In any event, so what happens over here? So the Rashba says that in such a case, we lighten, what's the word I'm looking for? We reduce the requirements of bittul. Why do we reduce the requirements of bittul? So the Rashba says that since the bread, when it fell into the tarobes, was heter, later on when it became Pesach, it becomes isur. He says when something that's heter becomes isur, it only has a tam kolush. Notice the same word that the Tosa Rosh uses here. There's something called a tam kolush, a weak tam. So I was thinking maybe the Tosa Rosh, when he was looking for this word to explain why this chazaka is still meaningful, but it's not the full-fledged chazaka because after all, it's not befanav, she's not saying it in front of her husband, he came up with the word chazaka klusha. Maybe he borrowed it from the Rashba's famous concept of a tam kolush. What would you say about that?
Her testimony didn't start off heter and then become iser.
Right.
No, her testimony stayed the same.
Right. In other words, the ein isha me'iza element here, is there a chutzpah, is there a chutzpah, is there a chutzpah for her to say niskarashti, or is it very easy for her to say niskarashti? So we have this balance between bifonav, you know, it's in front of a husband, and it's very difficult for her to say that you divorced me, like he's laughing at her. So therefore, if she said it, we believe her. On the other hand, it's a lot easier for the Sephardi to say it in front of a Beis Din that he divorced me when he's not here. And shalom b'fnei Baila. So we're really analyzing one situation. So the concept of kalush, it goes the other way around. Where you start with heter, and then you want to create isur. And in such a case, you could say that since we started with heter, then like hamotzi mechavel v'raya, now you have to be mechadish and the isur. That's called the tam kolush, because the tam is already in this pashet; it already spreads out in the kedera. The Gemara says lo. The kuli alma islay the Rav Hamnuna. The Gemara wants to say that everybody agrees. That means even Rav Bar Ovin accepts the shita of Rav Hamnuna, and a woman is believed to say gereshtani for hacha b'hacha miflugi. Here the machlokus revolves around whether or not there's a chazaka klusha. The Marsovar ki it madura. Marsovar is the second shita now. Rav Bar Ovin, he wouldn't accept the application of Rav Hamnuna in our case. Why? Because she was not bifnei baila ki it madura huna bifanav. Amal shalom bifanav meiza. She has no problem. She's perfectly comfortable to be mazed and just throw out this idea. Yeah, he gave me a get. And if that be the case, in the Mishnah, she's not believed to say nisgarashti, right? If Adam came and said and testified that she was an eshesish, that she received kiddushin, there's no longer a peshas or peshahitir. And what are you going to tell me? You can introduce the chazaka of Rav Hamnuna. Yeah, I'm on board. You know, I accept Rav Hamnuna, but not in this case, because this is a case of shalo b'funav. Umar sover, but on the other hand, Rabbi Oshia is of the opinion shalo b'funav nami eino me'iza. Again, notice he doesn't use the word chazaka here because he admits that it's not a full fledged chazaka of eino isha me'iza paneh shalo b'fnei ba'ila. But nevertheless, there is a chazaka klusha. And here the Tosa Rush adds a few more words now. What does he say? Ein kavanas hagemara lomar shekmo she'ena isha be'iza lifnei baila kach ena me'iza shalom lifnei baila. That the Gemara is not willing to go, because again we're only talking about a case where she had a peshasa peshahitin. Shem Kain, if that was the Gemara's intention, madua omar atana sheli acha shebo edim, and after the edim came and testified that she was a married woman, and she forfeits a pesha asa pesha yitir, harehi asura linos, she's not allowed to get married. But why is that so? If a woman is believed to say nisgarashti, and we're going to extend Rav Hamnuna and apply it even shalom b'fnei baila, then we should allow her to get married. Ela kavanas hagemara rak ledamos ishnei hanyonim. Again, the Tosa Rush repeats this thesis. Sheim Rav Hamnuna bo lahatir sa'isha sha'omra b'fnei baila gerishtani. It means Eino Isha Meiza Klal Lomar Girishtani Bifnei Baila. That's called a Chazaka Gemura. But Hu Adin, according to the logic of Rav Oshaya, Kishomer Kain Shalo Bifanav Yesh Chazaka Klusha She'eni Meiza Lomar Kain Bisheker. That there is a Ha'oza, even if he's not in front of her, to say that Nisgarashti. V'lachain Kol She'eno Leil Cheskas Eishes Ish. Yesh lahatir osa, we can be matir ha gam kshiavo edim via idu al kach shehi eshes ish. So it means that she doesn't have a cheskes eshes ish, and the reason for that is because the edim haven't come into bezdin, we can be matir to get married, and even though the edim come later, we're going to rely on this chazaka klusha of Rav Hamnuna of Einu Isha Meiza Pareh Filu Shalo Bifnei Bail. Of a kol shebo edim, but if the edim already came and they said Eishes Ish before she said Nisgarashti, then she would not be believed to say Nisgarashti Shalo Bifnei Baila. And the reason for that is because she forfeits her Pesha Asar Hu HaPesha Hitir. So again, Rabosai, it comes out according to Tosa Rush that when the Gemara introduces Rav Hamnuna here to justify Rav Oshia's position, it doesn't mean that Rav Oshia was completely relying on and applying Rav Hamnuna. Technically speaking, Rav Hamnuna doesn't apply in this case because it's Shalom Bifnei Baila. But what we gain from Rav Hamnuna is a Chazaka Klusha. And if she got married before the Edom came into Bezdin, since she had at that time a Peshasa Peshahitir, and add to that the Chazaka of Ein Isha Me'iza, even though it's again a Chazaka Klusha, then we're going to apply the principle of Emnises Lo Teitzei. Okay, Rabosai, let's go back again and review the Mishnah. If two Edom come, Misha Nises, then lo teitzei. Now the Gemara wants to know, at what point is it considered nises? Now again, Aaron, you asked me a question about erusin. That's not this sugya. This sugya wants to know, is something generated halachically? Does the situation change on the ground at the very moment that Beis Din gives her the green light to get married? Mm-hmm. Again, let's go through the scenario. We have no independent evidence that she's a married woman. She comes into Beis Din and she says, Eishes Isha Yisi, and then she adds Grushani, she has a Peshas a Peshahiti. And then the Mishnah is going to say that even if Edom come later and say that she's an Eishes Ish, nevertheless, in this Eish Lotetz, is the Mishnah saying, and again, we're all in Rav Hoshea now, is the Mishnah saying in this Eish Lotetz, because she already got married? That would be the straightforward, simple way of interpreting our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omar Avu Dishmuel, Lo Niseis Niseis Mamsh. Don't take the Mishnah literally and restrict it to a case where she went ahead and she got married, even if she hasn't gotten married. Elakeva Che Tirua Li Nase, once Beis Din issued her a green light, a permit to get married. Is Achal Pishlo Niseis, even though she hasn't yet shown that permit to a Masada Kedushin, she doesn't have a suitor that's, you know, she doesn't have a marriage partner yet. Nevertheless, we're going to allow her to get married. Now, what changed over here? You see, I was presenting a thesis that once she got married, she created new facts on the ground and she has a Cheskesei Shishish. We don't want to break up that Cheskesei Shishish. But you see from Avuah Dishmuel that he's not holding like Berzon, which is okay. I don't know why. You're right. In a Machlokas Berzon, Avuah Dishmuel, we're passing like Berzon, right?
No,
I'm just kidding.
The fact that Beis Din gives a permit is also facts on the ground. No,
okay. So it seems that according to Avuah Dishmuel, a heter Beis Din is something that has to be reckoned with. And this reminds me of some famous sugyas that will come later on in Ksubas called Zilusa de Beis Din. Notice it would look like a zilzul in Beis Din if they gave her a heter linase and then they rescinded that heter. Once Beis Din gave her the heter linase, we all assume that Beis Din did their due diligence, they checked out all the evidence, they waited for the Edom to come, and they finally allowed her to get married, relying on her claim of Eishes Isha Yisivu Grushani Niskarashti. No, we made a boo-boo. That's what it looks like. It really wasn't exactly a mistake on the part of Beis Din. Their psak was correct given the evidence that they had on the table. Now new evidence came into Beis Din, but nevertheless, if they override their original psak, that's called Zilusa de Beis Din. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. The other way of understanding the Gemara, maybe Max, I could trouble you to close the door, would you mind? Maybe what the Gemara means is that he tirua linase creates almost a cheskes eishes ish. Meaning, there are two types of a cheskes eishes ish. There's a full-fledged cheskes eishes ish because she received kedushin. And then there's a cheskes eishes ish, meaning she has a chazoka that she can become an eishes ish.
Cheskes pnuya? It's
like a cheskes pnuya beheter, if you follow me. I va lo teitzei ketani. I mean, the Mishnah says in this case lo teitzei. Obviously, lo teitzei means that she doesn't have to break up the marriage, this new marriage to the second Mekadesh. So how are you gonna square with the language of the Mishnah? Lo teitzei. It doesn't mean lo teitzei mi baila from her husband, but lo teitzei me hatera harishot. She doesn't go out from her original het. In other words, we're going to allow her to get married. Why? You know, people are going to start, you know, spreading rumors here. How is she getting married? There are two Edom testifying that she's a married woman, and we really don't have any testimony to the contrary that she received a get. And she certainly does not have a Peshas and Peshahita because the Edom came in to testify in Beis Din. But apparently, what the Gemara is saying is that we still don't have what we call a hakhasha lidvareha. What are the Edom testifying? They're not testifying that she didn't receive a get. That they don't know. They can only testify that she got married. Now she's saying, okay, I got married, but I received a get. There's no hakhasha between Divrei Aisha and the two Eidim. And that's called in the Gemara's language, Avud Shmuel, Lo Teitze Mehetera Harishon. No, no, we would say, wait a minute, there's clear-cut evidence here. How could Beis Din allow her to remain married to this guy? There are two Eidim that she's an Eishes Ish. The answer is no. There are two Eidim that she was an Eishes Ish, but it doesn't mean that she is an Eishes Ish. Maybe in the interim she received a get, and that's exactly what she said. So although technically we don't believe her because she no longer has a Pesha Asar, but if Beis Din allows her to get married, that's not going to create a big stir over here, because there is no testimony that clearly indicates that she's not allowed to get married.
But if two Eidim did come in and say she never got a divorce,
yeah, they would have to say what's called lo zaza mitachas yodein kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Although even that's complicated, because he could have given it to a shliach lekabbalah. Okay, I don't know. Let's say lo zaza mitachas yodein.
Then they would for sure have to get.
Oh, excuse
divorce.
Me. Now I have it better. Lo zaz mitachas yodein. In other words, the Baal was with us for every second, 24 hours. We had him locked up in jail. He couldn't have possibly given it again.
Right. So then in that case, they would for
such
sure...
Such a case, we would not allow her to get married.
No, we would make her get divorced.
And we'd make her get divorced.
Even though she
has... Because otherwise, it's going to be what we call Lazarus Fasayim. You know, people on the street are going to say, what's going on over here? How could Beis Din sit idly by, recognize this marriage, allow it to go on, when they have two Eidim that testify that she never got a divorce? Mm. That we can't allow.
So if a guy was in jail, right, he refused to give his wife a divorce. All right? And she came along and she said... She just made up a story there.
Then what, did he divorce her?
Yeah.
And we have proof that she never said again.
Then all of a sudden two guys rock up from Madagascar, wherever it is.
From Medina Sayyam, we'll call it, yeah.
Medina Sayyam, and they say, no, Carl was locked up, we couldn't get a divorce out of him, and that's it.
So we'd have to break up her marriage.
We'd have to break up the second marriage.
Second marriage? Yeah, the reason for that is because there's no possibility that she received a divorce.
No, but even though she has a cheskes chalusha or whatever, a cheskes...
Of any shabeizah panel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that chazok is only meaningful in the absence of Eidim. There's no chazok in the world that is powerful enough to override Eidim. Even though, I have to admit, that we got stuck at the beginning of this perek, because the Gemara says that there are no Eidim to testify that she was yotzeis bihinuma. If you remember that case.
Mm.
And in such a case, the Gemara says that if two people come along and they say that she was Yotzis B'Numa, therefore she gets a Ksuba Masayim as a Psua, then we assume they're Eidei Sheker, that they're lying through their teeth, because it's a Chazaka that if she was married as a Psua, she was Yotzis B'Numa, and everybody knows about that. The fact that no one is willing to come forth and testify except for these two people indicates that they're lying. So I don't know what to do with that.
Well, that's like a Befar Hesia thing, no? That's like when the Kahal knows something more than just...
That's like, you mean if two Eidim testify that Reuven killed Shimon and then Shimon walks into Beis Din alive as well.
Yeah, it's like everyone knows it. It's
Baharik Baraglo. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Tana Rabban.
During the Holocaust, there must be millions of... Not millions, there must be a lot of cases.
Of an Aguna, and then all of a sudden he shows up? Ooh. I don't know. I have to check the history of it, whether or not that happened. In the case of 9/11, I think there were 13 agunos or so, and they were matir, all of them. You know, it's in each of the 13 cases. They never found the bodies, really, but in each case, you can read a whole book about this. Each case, the Rabban and the Beis Din found enough of an evidence to prove that she she's an amana, that her husband died. The one case I remember was Beagle Eisen. You remember that case? He was on 101st floor or something.
He was on the phone.
And he was on the phone.
That's fine. That I heard that story. That was an amazing story.
Yeah.
Can we suggest a radical story?
Why not?
It's
almost Purim. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
If we're saying it's going all the way to Tura Beis Din, could be on the smach of the original Kiddushin, the words of the Asma Shel Yisrael. And there's a kind of bezdin.
That's nice.
Oh, you mean afkinu rabbanu l'kiddush?
Well, they're not going that far, but that kayach, that's linked back to the fact that let out clause.
Yeah.
Let me think about that.
That's good.
Maybe itiru a bezdin through afkinu. I agree, it's a brilliant idea, but the only disagreement I have with you is then I think we'd have to apply afkinu. It's not just theoretical, I think.
Well, that's not bad. She's an immigrationist. I mean, she's not asking for afkinu, that's not what she's asking for.
No, but I'm just saying that since there are two Aiden that testify that she was an Eishes Ish, and therefore she loses her pesha asa peshita. How can we now allow her to get married? So Gemara says itiru oli nasi. They already gave her the het before the Eidim came in. Yeah. So maybe that's working with afkinu rabbanu l'kiddusha. That wouldn't be the worst thing.
But if you're going that far, you might
let's
as well
see. I was just curious to know if anybody says that. No, he doesn't quote anything here. Okay, Rabbi, so let's make a little progress. I'm very eager to get to Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Amra nishbesi utahorani v'yeshli edim shetahorani. Now keep in mind that if a woman has a peshas a peshahitir, the Mishnah establishes she's allowed to marry a kohen. When she makes this declaration, I have edim, she's really going beyond the law. She's not relying, she doesn't have to rely on these Eidim. We don't have to rely on these Eidim. Meaning, whether they come to Beis Din or they don't come to Beis Din should be totally irrelevant. Ein omrim namtin ad shevo Eidim. Elamatir no saviyad. There's no need to wait for these Eidim because she's believed with the Peshas of Peshahitir. But now it becomes complicated. Hitiru ali nase. Now, they relied on the Peshas of Peshahitir, allowed her to get married. They didn't wait for the Eidim. Hopefully, when the Eidim come in, rah, 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 we have now further support or proof that what we did was the right thing and that she was telling us the truth. But lo and behold, Amru lo yadanu. We don't know. Did she have a relationship or did she, right? Was she violated? Was she not? Is Harezu lotates. In other words, even though she sort of stuck her head out too far in this case by saying that I have Eidim to testify that loaded Macy, and in fact the Eidim came and they can't say a word, neither yea nor nay, nevertheless, we're not going to rely on the Eidim, even though she subpoenaed these Eidim and she told us there are Eidim. Oh, but now we get to the most complicated case. Vimbo Eide Tuma. What happens if, at long last, the Eidim do show up in Beis Din, and they testify that we saw the Be'ilah, that we saw that she was Nivellus Lagoy Binish Beis, Bishriyasa. Is Afilu Yeshla Kama Bonim? Is Tetzin. Even though she was married to a Kohen, and she had a number of children, and we here in the ELC, we needed them for Kohanim because Aaron, you moved out, so we don't have enough Kohanim. I always tell Ari Feldman when he comes that not only will he get one Aliyah, we don't have any Leviim either, so he usually gets two Aliyahs, two for the price of one. It's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
Expensive deal.
So the case here is that she went ahead and she married a Kohen, and all her children are Kohanim, or so we think. And then two Eidim come in and say that way back when, before she married this Kohen, she was a Shvuya and she was Nivellus Lagoy, which means she's a Zonah, which means the children are Chalolim, and they lose their Kedushas Kahuna. So what are we going to do? If we break up the marriage, we're basically stating that she's a Zonah, and the implications there, above and beyond just breaking up the marriage to the Kohen, that's bad enough.
Send it to another Shom.
Yeah, but all the children will be now Chalolim. And that's what the Brisa says, that they will be Chalolim. Why? Because we now have testimony to the effect that she had this Be'ilah to a God. So on both sides, what this means is that if a Kohen is living with a woman for, I don't know, 50 years, and all of a sudden two Eidim show up in Bez and they testify that 50 years ago, this woman had a be'ilah to a guy, then not only does this Cohen have to divorce his wife for 50 years, but all the children that he had during that 50-year period are halalim. I don't know why I keep mentioning the number 50.
There's nothing specific in Shvui, right? Like, this would also happen if...
That's what I'm saying. Forget about a Shvui.
I'm saying, like, it's not just a case of Shvui.
Right. Whatever makes him into a Zona.
Okay.
Yeah, if they saw had Be'ilah to a guy, she wasn't a Shvui. If they saw she had a Be'ilah to an apostle, to a mamzer, she becomes a Zona. Well, ger is more complicated, you know. We're talking about a woman now, so you're saying she married a ger.
No,
I'm saying,
let's say Adam come in and say, no, she was a ger. The woman was a ger. All of a sudden,
the Cohen's married to a Yisraelis, we think.
Yeah, we think.
And lo and behold, we find out she's a ger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing.
Okay.
All right. Now, I think I may have mentioned to you in the past that, to my surprise, and I don't understand why, the Masifta adds three words here, which I can't figure out. I want to write a letter to the editor. I don't know if they'll gurus my letter, but he says that even though she has children from her second marriage, nevertheless, Anumotziim Laz al Boner Shechalolim Hay. What kind of Laz al Boner? They are Chalolim. I don't know what he means by Laz. The word Laz is a technical word that always means a false rumor. It's called lies. This is not a false rumor. So I don't know. I don't know what he means here. Okay, anyway, let's not... So now the Gemara wants to deal with a case of Shvuyos. Hani Shvuyosa di Asyo le Nardoi. So these Shvuyos came to the city of Nardoi. They were out there collecting money to try to ransom these women. Osiv avur de Shmuel nitori badoi, and the father of Shmuel set up shomrim, guards, security guards, to make sure that the goyim would not violate these women. You know, during this period of negotiations, Amalei Shmuel viado in the man natridhu. You know, these girls were taken into captivity way back when, and nobody was watching them then. So they already are prohibited to a Kohen. So why you say, you know, you're trying to establish what? That they're Ksheris L'Kohenim? And Avud Shmuel got very, very upset with his son's statement. Amalei, he says, Ilu b'nasach havyan, if one of these girls was your own daughter, is mi havas mezalzalei be'kuli hai? Would you be so flippant about it and careless about it and allow the Goyim to remain, you know, to remain, how should I say, in control of these women and not put up some sort of a security force to deflect them and prevent them from violating these women? Havoy. And this exactly is what happened.
So he didn't do it for Adas, he did it just to protect them.
Correct. They were already Asura Lekuhuna by virtue of the Shvuya, but he didn't want them to have repeated, to be subject to these repeated rape acts. Terrible. Havoy, the Gemara says Havoy. That. Exactly what Avud Shmuel said came to pass. He said, and if they were one of you, if one of these girls were your daughters, and the Gemara quotes from Pasuk Kohel's Kishgoga Shiyotze Mipnei Milifnei HaShalit, that sometimes if a tzaddik says something, it's going to come to pass. You know, tzaddik goes if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Vishtavion Bansei Demar Shmuel. And Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. Vaskinu Li'ar Di Yisrael. In this case, the Goyim came to Eretz Yisrael to demand ransom money to free these girls. Okman L'Shvoyayu Me'abroi. So what happened was that they left the how do you say captors? Is that the word? They left the captors outside of Beis Din, and the girls came into Beis Din. Beis Din knew nothing about the story. You know, had the captors come in, But somehow she was able to keep the captors out. It's not clear to me how that happened. And then Ayla Bei Midrasha Debei to Rabbi Hanina. So now what happens? She or they, there were more than one girl, said Nishbesi Utoharani, which means Peshasa Peshehitir. But now the case comes in front of Rabbi Hanina to Paskin. So Rabbi Hanina says the following, Ha'amra Nishbesi Utoharani. He says that if a woman says Nishbesi Utoharani, she's believed, Vahama Nishbesi Utoharani. The other woman also says Nishbesi Utoharani. Is Sharina? So Rabbi Hanina allowed her to get married, allowed them to get remarried, to get married, to Kohen. Why? Because if we have no evidence that they were Shavuyos, then we apply the principle of Peshas and Peshahit. Sof ol asu shvoyanhu. After Rabbi Hanina had issued his heter allowing these girls to get married, the captors came into Bezdin. Vikiru Bezdin Shashvuyos. I mean, now Bezdin realized that they made a big mistake by allowing them to get married because they are Shavuyos and they don't have a Peshas and Peshahit. Rav Hanina Binan Demorion Inun. I can tell that these girls are the daughters of Morion. Morion is like Milosh and Mora Hora. You know, this is an Adam Gadol. Because he realized that they had pulled this shtick to make sure to delay Bezdin's awareness of the fact that they were Shvuyos until after they would register their Peshas and Peshahit. At the end, they found out that these daughters were no less than the daughters of the great Shmuel. Rav Hanina turns to Rav Shemen, who is a Kohen, and he was also related to Shmuel, and he says to him, "Polk." We're now on. Where are we? Oh, we're at the end of the page. Polk itpa itapal bikrovasaya. Wow. He told him to marry one of these two girls. An amazing kind of story. I mean, in our contemporary world, I can't even imagine this happening. You have a woman who now loses a Peshas, a Peshahitir, and we instruct one of the members of her family to marry her, to indicate almost, you know, publicly that she's not a zona. Omele l'Rab Hanina, va'ika eidim imdina sayam. Maybe at this point we don't know that she was a shvuya and she has a pesha asar, but the rumor has it that there are witnesses out there in what is Brian called Madagascar, and they're going to come and testify that she was a shvuya, and then she becomes asur l'kamei mirabanan. So he answers Rav Hanina, hashtamias lesnu kamon. Right now we don't have any eidim in front of us, and as long as we don't have any eidim in front of us, we believe them with a peshas and peshahitir, and we don't have to worry about the fact that they're eidim in medina sayah. Eidim b'tzad istan v'teyaser. Istan is some place that's north of Babel, and there's a phrase, an idiomatic phrase. There are witnesses out there in the northern part of Babel, and they knew and they saw that she was a shvuya. So therefore, we're going to say that they can't marry kohanim as long as they haven't come into Beis Din. Then we have the right to be matir them based on peshas and peshahit. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Taima delo asu eidim. The implication of the words of Rav Hanina and his verdict was that right now we have no Eidim. Implying that had we had the Eidim, she would not be believed. Ha'asu Eidim mitarsa, mitasra, she would become asura. V'omar Abba de Shmuel, kevin she tirul, inon se'af pishlo niseis. Even though she didn't get married, once we gave her the heter in Beis Din, we're not going to rescind that heter and force a divorce between her Kohen husband number two and her. So you see clearly that we're not basing ourselves on hitiru alinase, but rather on the fact that the Eidim haven't yet showed up in Bezdin. Had they shown up in Bezdin and say that we know that she was Nishbet, she would not be believed with a Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir, and then we would not allow her to marry a Kohen. So you're telling me, Rab Chanina, that because the Edom didn't come into Bez, and at this particular moment she has a Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir, therefore we're going to be Mekil, and we're going to apply the principle of Hitiruli, not say Afal Pishlo Nises. It seems to be, therefore, that if the Edom would have been in Beis Din, we would not allow her to get married.
It sounds like Beis
Din. And that's very strange, because we just finished saying that once she has a Peshas, a Peshahitir, and we gave her a Hetel Inase, that was Avuah D'Shmuel's principle, then we're not going to rescind the Hetel Inase.
In those cases before, we didn't know that someone's out there potentially ready to testify. In these cases, it sounds like Beis Din is like purposefully being a little
naive or something,
negligent, I guess. Like they're not doing their due diligence. If they know someone's out there that theoretically could help, and they're dafka like rushing through the process, it sounds a little
strange.
Yeah.
You know, this comes back to the discussion that we had with Max before. That, you know, what are you saying? You're saying we're going to allow her to get married because she has a peshasa peshahit here, and we're not even going to anticipate that the Edom will eventually show up in Beis Din. We're going to give her a heter gomer.
Even in this case, there's like a warning. There's like, there, by the way, there are people over there that might have something to say about this. It's a little...
I have a feeling that this Gemara is touching on some sort of a universal principle that applies way beyond the confines of our Peshas or Peshahit, that when there are laws that govern evidence and emanus, then we play by those rules as the evidence reveals itself. Meaning, if all we have on the table of Beis Din is a Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir, that's what we're going to rely upon, and we're going to grant her a Heter Linase. And the finish is that even though later on Edom come into Beis Din and say we know that she was a Shvuya, it doesn't matter, she already had a Heter Linase.
That's so hard to believe, because if you were to take Edis, right? And in the last Masechta we spoke about how we really grill the Edim when they come in, and we ask them all these questions left and right to really make sure what they're saying is true.
Right.
So you would say something...
Right, but we don't have to anticipate Edim, meaning...
Right.
Imagine a situation where the law would say, freeze everything and wait for the Edim. Now, how long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait a week? Are you going to wait a month? A year?
What I'm saying is even by Edis, you're gonna grill them to make sure what they're saying is true. Here, she's just saying Peshas or Peshahitir. There's no grilling. There's no like making sure that this is really what happened.
That's an interesting question. I mean, why aren't we Doresh Vachoke? You know,
yeah, it's much more loose. It's much more. Maybe we are, and I just I don't know. But
right. I'd have to look in Shulchan Aruch and see how this is paskin. If Aaron, you want to do me a favor, what you could do is you could bring, let me just look in the Ein Mishpat near Mitzvah to see if I can get a Marmokum here. Here, he has a Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer. I was hoping it would be in his Ebenezer. Simon Kuf Nun Beis. So you have the Koyach, it's behind this wall. But keep in mind that there may be more than one volume of Ebenezer. So we're in Simon Kuf Nun Beis. We're probably going to be at the very end of Ebenezer. So let me write myself a note here. Kuf Nun Beis. So I don't have to search for it again. Kuf Nun Beis. Sif Vav. Am I in the right place? I'm on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Yeah, I'm looking at the Mishnah. Ve'isha Shomer Ishisisha Isigrushani Nemenes Shapesos Shapeshehiti. I have a hay for the Ein Mishpat. So tell me if you think I'm on the right at the right place. Kuf Nun Beis Sif Vav.
Yeah,
Ah, it's all in one vine. Yeah, no, it's all in one vine. Base. Let's see if we find anything here. Isha Sheba Viamra Ishis Isha Yisu Gushani Nemenes Shapesha Osra Pesha Hitr Yesh Omrim Dafka Kshaomra Kshaomra Kach Toch Kede Dibu Elim King Nosna Amasal Dvareha Yesh Edim Shahoysa Ishis Isha Enin Nemenes Lomar Gushani Vim Nisais Tetze Vafilu Vafilu nisays kodim shabo edim sheidushi yeshis ish. Oh, that surprises me. Maybe he's paskining like Rabbi, what's his name? Like the second one.
Rabbi
Barovin, maybe. I don't know. But in any event, where are the drishas and hakiris? I don't know. Take a look. I don't find anything here on Drishas for Chakiris, but you're right, you know, we should be a little bit more investigatory, if there's such a word, and try to investigate whether or not she received her get. Like, what bezin did she receive it, and what were the dates? What do you mean, she just comes in like this, glad in the veltra, and she says, I received the get?
It sounds
certainly an Adam, we would not...
It sounds better than Adam's. You can just go in and say it. You know, there's no Chakira.
Truth is that Drishas v'Chakiris is a requirement of Dinei Nefashos. But nevertheless, there's certainly basic Chakiris that you need even in...
Maybe that's just assumed.
Maybe it's just what?
Is it possible that's just assumed? It doesn't have to be spelled out in the halakha?
The Shulchan Aruch should say something about that, because there are, you know, a myriad of nuances exactly what she has to say, and, you know, do we know if she's lying or not? It's a little bit oversimplified. I wouldn't be surprised, Ramayan, if it's elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, I might not be looking in the right place. But if this is the right place, then it seems like a blanket statement that she just comes in with a Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir.
You should be looking in the Shulchan Aruch on Abed Shmuel. Isn't that relevant?
Yeah, where is that? Does he tell you where that is?
That's Shulchan Aruch. That's Hilchos Sirabiyah.
Okay, where's it? It's probably Ibn Ezra, no?
No, he's saying it's...
Oh, it's only the Rambam, he says? No, wait, you mentioned Tur Shulchan Aruch.
Sorry.
What number is it? It's also on Chaf Beis?
I'm looking at Abed Shmuel on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph.
Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. What letter did you say it was? Ches?
I've got Vav.
Vav?
Ibn Ezra,
Shah. The Shom is Ibn, you know, exactly.
So you go back to Aleph, Evelyn Simon Mem Zion.
No, I think it goes back to Gimel. You see Gimel where he says Kuf Nun, what does it say, Beis?
Yeah.
Okay, and now we're looking at what Sif should Sif we be
Vav.
Looking at?
Sif Vav. Kuf Nun Beis Vav.
Should be on the same page.
Is this one just read?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Vav that we read?
Yeah.
So back to the same one, yeah.
So.
All roads lead to Kufnun Beis.
It doesn't sound like he's passing like Abed Shmuel.
Well, wait a minute. There must be more to it than that. I didn't get into the question of Hitiruli Nase. You want to read it out loud, Aaron? Yeah.
Sure. Aisha Shabbat Amar Aisha Aisha Iti Gursha Ani Nemenet Shabesh Asar Hu Tashin Hiter Vish Omerim Dafka Kishamar Kaf Kitok Zok the Ibor.
No, but here it doesn't make sense. The F sharp?
I don't know.
Oh. You told me Aleph Aleph.
Give it back to the rabbi to me.
But wait a second. It can't be just Aleph Aleph. It has to be Aleph Aleph Chaf, no?
Aleph Aleph Chaf, yeah.
Yeah. What I can't figure out is where are you and where am I? And we don't. Oh, LMK Nosna Masla Dvara. That's what you're up to. So that's another discussion that we had a few, like 6 weeks ago or so. She says that the only reason I said it is because of this reason. Mm. Too many suitors, and he wanted to push them off, so I said I was an Ishah Tzeis. Now, in Yesh Eidim Shai Seishes, Ish Einanem Menes Lomar Gushani, Vim Niseis Teitze, Vafilim Niseis Kodem Shebo Ha Eidim Sheidu Sheishes Ish.
That's Keneged.
Wow, that's Keneged Abu de Shmuel.
Except the Bob is.
I don't know. Sounds to me like he's not accepting Abu de Shmuel. Or in fact is asking a kasha on Abu de Shmuel. Fretting more of Omar Abu de Shmuel. Kevon Shi Tiru Alinose, Afo Pishlo Nises. So, how could it be that Rabbi Hanina gave the answer that there were no Edom here, that we could allow her to get married because right now there are no Edom? But if there, you know, if the Edom do come, then we have to break up the marriage. Or, and the question is, what about Avuah D'Shmuel? Avuah D'Shmuel said that once we gave her a heter to get married, we're not going to rescind that heter. Amar Rav Ashi, Edei Tuma Itmar. So Rav Ashi says that when Rav Shemin Bar Abba, he wasn't worried that Edom will come in later. The question was Edei Tuma Itmar. In other words, that Edom would come in who saw that she had Be'ila, that's called Tuma, and that's what the Brisa says in Bo Edei Tuma Afili Yeshla Kama Bonim Teitze. And on this, Rabbi Hanina says that we don't have to be choshesh that Edom are going to show up and testify that she was nitmes. Mm. So what changed now in the post Rav Ashi era? What did Rav Ashi change over here? Rav Ashi says that when you're saying we don't have to be choshesh for Edom, what we're talking about is for Edei Tuma, that Edom will testify and say that she had Be'ila. But Anokinami, if Edom testified that she was Nishbeis, then we could say Lo Teitzei Me'atera Rishon. Right? So if we don't have any Edom specifically saying that she had this Be'ila and she is a Zona, then in the absence of those Edom, we could say Nishbeis Lo Teitzei, even if she hasn't gotten married yet, Lo Teitzei Me'atera Rishon.
Right? Because there's no Hachasha, there's no.
They've opened the door and just find out so what they're up to.
For a minute.
Okay, so I think we got up to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Gimel on the days. So we need there tomorrow. When is Yontif? I get confused.
So it's out Wednesday night.
Ah, so I guess we'll meet then 2 weeks from tonight, mm-hmm. And we'll start the Mishnah. Okay.